Thank you all for joining the call this morning. And today we have a Bhagavatam class by His Grace Ajay Govind Prabhuji. And he is a disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And they live in Hillsboro, North Carolina. And they do lots of services to Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. Thank you so much, Ajay Govind Prabhuji, for coming for the call and giving us Bhagavatam class. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Dandas Pranam.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to serve for my purification and this assembly of the great Vaishnavas. It's just like, you know, me showing a candle to the sun, but for my purification, I'll accept this service. So we will recite the Bhagavatam prayers and then the prayers to our Acharyas, and then we'll read through Srimad Bhagavatam, and then I will try to summarize some of the points from the text we read. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhiraye. Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhakti Naishtiki. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnananjan Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Udpad Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sadhujatam Saguna Ravanatanvitam Tam Sajivam Savudvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Saguna Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapt Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sukai Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, before I start, I'll take your permission and blessings so that I can deliver the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in the right spirit. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 33, and we'll be reading the text 8. Tam tvaham aham brahma param pamushmam sam pratyaksharuttasi atmani svambhayavaram svatejasa dhavasta guna pravaham vande vishnu kapilam veha garbham. Translation: I believe, my Lord, that you are Lord Vishnu himself under name of Kapil. And you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahman. The saint and sages, being freed from all the disturbances of the sense and mind, meditate upon you. For by your mercy only one becomes free from the clutches of the three modes of the material nature. At the time of dissolution, all the Vedas are sustained in you only. Purport by His Divine Grace. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Devahuti, mother of Kapil, instead of prolonging her prayers, summarized the Lord Kapila was none other than Vishnu, and that since she was a woman, it was not possible for her to worship him properly, simply by prayers. It was her intention that Lord be satisfied. The word pratyak is significant. In yogic practice, the eight divisions are Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahar, Dharana, dhan, and samadhi. Pratyahara means to wind up the activities of senses. The level of realization of the Supreme Lord evidenced by devotee is possible when one is able to withdraw senses from material activities. When one is engaged in devotional service, there is no scope for his senses to be engaged otherwise. In such full Krishna consciousness, one can understand the Supreme Lord as He is. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnu Adhutadai Shrimati Bhakti Chanda Swami Nanakti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnu Adhutadai Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nanakti Namine Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pichalini Nirvishesha Shunyavad Pashyata Deshtarane. I believe, my Lord, that you are Lord Vishnu Himself under the name of Kapil. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahman, the saint sages being free from all the disturbances of the sense and mind meditate upon you. For by your mercy only can one become free from the clutches of the three modes of material nature. At the time of dissolution, all the Vedas are sustained in you only. So the context of this is where Lord Kapiladeva had instructed Devahuti, his mother, how to execute the devotional service. He also explained, you know, what is devotional service, what is the adverse effect of the fruitive activities, how one can control that, how a living entity should be leading the life. All those instructions were given, the entanglement and the fruitive activities and coming out. So in this chapter, Kapiladeva has already completed his instructions to his mother Devahuti, and as a Vaishnava, she is now offering her prayers and summarizing what she has understood. So it's a Vedic culture as well as a normal mode of communication that when somebody is instructing and we take the instructions, the instructions have been understood or not, to make sure one reciprocates the understanding to confirm that their understanding is correct. So Mother Devahuti here is establishing Lord Kapiladeva none other than the Supreme Personality of God. And we all know that Kapiladeva is an incarnation of Lord Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself spoke the message of the devotional service to Arjun, which we called as the Bhagavad Gita. And here in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many incarnations who are appearing and giving the messages to various devotees at various times. And this repetition is for emphasis that, you know, how important this process is to understand. And, you know, if whatever process we follow, whatever context we read, whatever cantos we read in Bhagavatam, it should at the end make us a devotee. The underlying subject matter which Mother Devahuti is talking about, that how the saint and sages follow and meditate upon the Lord, is by the process of being freed from the disturbance of the senses and mind. In the process of devotional service, it is very important that the senses and minds are aligned to the process. If they are not, then one cannot progress. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that in the yogic practice, there are eight processes, which is called as the Ashtanga Yoga. Pratyahara is a process which means a winding of the sense activities. It's very difficult for anybody to stop the senses. The engagement of the senses could not be stopped. A nature of any particular object cannot be stopped. We cannot stop the nature of the fire not to burn. So fire will burn, fire will give heat, nobody can stop that, it will give light. Water will flow, nobody can control it. Wind will blow, nobody can control it. So if we have, let's say, you know, a water body which is flowing like we see the rivers, and if it is uncontrolled, it brings in floods. Now one if tries to stop the flow of the water of the river, it is not possible. The place where we stop, the water will ooze out from somewhere else and start flooding. No matter how big a wall as a dam we produce, water cannot be stopped. But water can be controlled through a dam. When water is collected, there are various usages of the water. It could be channeled through the various canals to the places which don't get irrigation. It's used to generate hydroelectricity, and there are a number of other uses. Similar is what is our senses are. We cannot seize the senses, but we can control the senses and utilize the senses in the service of Lord. And that is what is the message being given here. How one can do that? There are various processes defined in our scriptures. And the best method is that one can realize the knowledge of controlling the senses under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Arjun, when saw the Virat Roop and Kal Roop of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he states, you know, in one verse where he is glorifying Krishna as the Guru, 1143, Arjun's speaking, Pitashi lokascha characharsa tvam asya pujascha guru grihan. So guru grihan means you are the great master and you are the glorious guru. You are the first guru because you are instructing the subject matter to me. And anybody who has to be a bona fide spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, should be following the disciplic succession. So somebody who has understood the message in the right way can deliver it. Kapiladev is Krishna himself, so there is no question of disciplic succession. He is delivering the right message, and under the guidance of a spiritual master, one can control the senses. Now these senses are just like, you know, the blazing fires. So as a fire which is in the woods, when it starts, it doesn't care about, you know, what is coming to the path. It burns everything. So these senses, when they have the urges, they are uncontrolled. A person who is influenced by the senses doesn't know what is right, what is wrong, because this fire of the senses eats up the intelligence. And then the mind is not under the control of knowledge or intelligence, but is under the control of the senses. That results into desires which are not right. People who are following the processes of the devotional service, it's not that they don't have some desires which are not right, but they have the control over their desires to utilize it in the correct form, in the correct way, in the service of Lord, rather than being drifted by the sense gratification. Krishna does not say that one cannot enjoy. One can enjoy, but how the enjoyment is perceived and how the enjoyment is acquired, that is what matters, and that is what is the process of devotional service. So, in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned where that, you know, this blazing fire, which is like burning all the ashes, this fire, when it comes in a form of knowledge from the bona fide spiritual master, then this burns all the reaction to the material activities. There's a verse which is stating that Shatahi Damshi Samito Agnir Basmasa Kurte Arjuna. So the blazing fire, which is the fire of the knowledge, burns all the reactions. Now it's very important to understand that how the activities are controlled. The activities are controlled by the modes of the material nature. It's mentioned in the translation of this verse also that by the mercy of Lord, one becomes free from the clutches of three modes of material nature. The modes of the material nature, material mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. All of these modes give the karmic reactions. So the mode of ignorance gives us into the bad karmas. Mode of ignorance is normally related to darkness, absence of knowledge. Mode of passion is related to enthusiasm, where man is more aggressively doing work, both positive and negative. And then mode of goodness is associated with enlightenment, with light, with knowledge. 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita describes the complete process of the modes of material nature. And when Arjuna inquires to Krishna that how one can get rid of the modes of the material nature, then Krishna replies, Mam cha yogi avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevata. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailingly, avyabhicharena, without fail. So it's very important to understand the instructions. So one has to engage in full devotional service, not partial. And it should be unfailing. It's not that, you know, we will follow the process on Saturday and Sunday, but because weekdays are very busy, we cannot follow our process. That's not the instruction. It has to be followed completely. There's no harm in following only on the weekend, but that's a gradual process when we start. When one fully becomes, you know, at a platform where one has seriously taken up this process of bhakti yogena, by devotional service, by rendering the service, one can overcome the modes of the material nature. That is the only way to overcome the modes of the material nature. Otherwise, being in the modes of the material nature, one will always be drifted by the desires of the senses. If we do not involve ourselves in the process of the devotional service, then we cannot control the senses. Devotional service is defined to be followed in the association of the devotees. So one should take the help of the devotee association, hear from the scriptures, hear from the guru, and then one should execute the process in a right way. And then the devotional service is fructified. So we all know that there are 9 processes of following the devotional service, like hearing, chanting, Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Swaranam, Pada Sevyam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanivedanam. So one can follow one or more of the processes, but very important process is hearing. If one will not hear, then one will not know what to chant. Because hearing is the first process to acquire knowledge. We can acquire knowledge by seeing, but if somebody doesn't even have eyes, we can still see by hearing. So a lot of times when we are talking in general English also, we talk to ourselves, or you know, we talk to someone, okay, see, like let's say you are doing this. No, we are not doing that process. We are not in a place where we see those things, but just by hearing, we can even see. So hearing is the first very important process, and by hearing, one gets the knowledge. When gets the knowledge, then only one can recite that knowledge or speak about that. And then eventually when one speaks multiple times, one remembers, and then gradually one can start the process of a devotional service, right? By doing the service, by doing the executing the orders in a friendly way, like Arjun was doing, and then by the complete surrender. If we see any of these process, the ultimate underlying instruction is to follow the instructions of Lord. So whether we are hearing, we are following the instructions of Lord. If we are chanting, that is still we are following the instructions of Lord. If we are remembering, we are still following the instructions of Lord, because all these are the instructions of Lord. And whatever relationship we establish with Lord, within that form, within that process, we can execute the process of the devotional service. And the process must be pleasing to Krishna. It must be pleasing to the devotees. So the devotional service, when it is being executed, it should not be done under stress. It should not be done under pressure. It should be done in a loving form. Gradually, one should increase. Now, by following these process, there are stages with which the devotional service or a person's life is transformed. By hearing, first person has to have the faith. And faith is you know, unconditional acceptance of some statement. It's not that, okay, I'll do some experiment and then evaluate it and then trust it. Faith is, you, one says something, we accept it. To have that, one should hear from the bona fide authorities. If we go on a road and ask somebody about, you know, how I can be treated for a certain disease, the advice which will be coming in probably may not be the right, but when we go to the doctor and whatever the prescription doctor gives us, we do not bring that medicine home, take it to the lab, do the experiment, see whether it is helping me or not. Doctor gives us, we take the medicine because we have a faith in doctor. This person is specialist of the field. Whatever he is executing is the right thing. Sometimes we do often go for a second opinion, but second opinion is again to confirm the same thing which is on a very highly you know, critical health subject matter, which may involve higher risks. But then just for a simple flu or cold, we don't consult five doctors. We go to our primary care doctor who is providing us the medicine, we take the medicine and we see the results, it happens. That is what is faith. Accept it. Then is the association of the devotees. Association of the devotees doesn't mean just be physically present. Srila Prabhupada was given an example that in one of the lecture, there was a mosquito who was sitting on the lap, and Srila Prabhupada said that this mosquito is in my association. And he said, no, he is just in a physical contact, but this fellow is sucking my blood. This fellow is not in the association. And there might be a devotee who is way far physically, but is following the instructions of the spiritual master or Srila Prabhupada, that person is in close association. So association means taking the instructions and following them. And then one performs the devotional service, and by performing the devotional service, the sense gratification goes away, the modes of the material nature are overcome, anarth nivritti happens. With that comes nishtha, which is steadiness. And when a person is little steady, the taste develops. We might all have taken up this process of Krishna consciousness, and initially it might not be that joyful. People had problems in chanting, people had problems in reciting the mantras, people have problems in hearing the lectures and listening the classes, and they could not tolerate that. But over a period of time, the steadiness comes. When they hear that repeatedly, when they participate in that, they get involved, they get the taste in it. So the study net becomes the transforms to the taste, and taste transforms to attachment. When we get attachment, and this attachment is not the sense gratification attachment, we are not talking about somebody having attachment to you know, the sense gratification propensities. This attachment is for the loving devotional service. People enjoy doing the service of Lord. This attachment transforms to love, which eventually transforms to pure love. So bhava and then prema. This is the nine stages of the devotional service. So the process of the yoga, which is the eight different processes, pratyahara winds up the activities. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there is a risk in following this process. When one follows this process, there is a risk that at certain point in time, one may again, you know, be under the influence of the desires, because they are being withheld, they are being, you know, controlled for a long time. But if they are channelized correctly, then one enjoys the process. In summary of the Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasnatva Na Shochati Na Kamshati. One who is transcendently situated realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. And when joy is there, there is no question of sense gratification, because all the objectives of the sense gratification activities is to get enjoyment. If enjoyment is available, then there is no question of hankering for various ways to get the senses satisfied. And eventually, one understands the realization of the Supreme Brahman. Bhagavad Gita says that in 18:54. This verse explained that one who is transcendently situated realizes the Supreme Brahman, he becomes fully joyful. And the attributes of such person is that the person is not limits or has desire of anything. This person is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains the pure devotional service onto me. That's a process. It's defined various places. It's defined in Bhagavad Gita. It's defined in Srimad Bhagavatam. Every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam we see, we get that. When we see the story of Prahlad Maharaj, we get that. When we see the story of Dhruva Maharaj, we get that. So, being into the process of devotional service means to render loving devotional service to God. It does not say that, you know, one has to forcefully do it. It says that one has to perform it in a right mood, with making the God pleased. And then this purport also talks about that, you know, at the time of dissolution, all the Vedas are sustained only in you. So the purpose of all the Vedas is actually to know Krishna. That is what the Vedas are meant for. That is the purpose of Vedas. And when one knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there is no requirement to go through with the Vedas into the details. Our scriptures have told and expressed this thing multiple times, that the Vedas are the process of to know the Supreme Personality of God. And the best way to remember and do the service to Supreme Lord is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So one who is chanting the holy names of the Lord is actually a very highly self-realized person. Even the text previous to the 8, which we read probably in the last class, 337, talks about the same thing. Haubhata aswapachota garyan ya jivagre vartate namabhutabhyatam. A person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family like that of a chandal or a dog eater, is situated on a highest platform. So this process is very sublime. When we follow the process with the guidance of a spiritual master, the transcendental knowledge will subdue the sense gratification propensities. Bhagavad Gita 3:39 also says the same thing. Saddhava labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriya. A faithful man who dedicates to transcendental knowledge and wishes to subdue his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. And this knowledge is the knowledge of the science of Krishna consciousness. To get this, one has to dedicate, and then the senses will be subdued. Srila Prabhupada, and Krishna uses the word subdue. He doesn't use the word will stop, because that's the nature of the senses. We cannot stop the nature of the senses. It's been a creation of a Lord. We cannot intervene in that. We don't have the capacity to do that. But yes, Krishna gives a way to control it, to subdue it. And subdue of the senses means use it in a different way. Like we talked about the analogy of the water flowing through a river or a water body. If through a dam it's channelized, then it can be giving multiple uses rather than doing a destruction. Similarly, the senses could be utilized. Some people have the art of playing musical instruments, and they feel pleasure when they play those musical instruments. So they can play the musical instruments while the kirtan is going on. So they are doing the same activity but with a different consciousness. The activity itself doesn't define whether it is a sense gratification activity or not, but the consciousness behind that activity is what is defined as, you know, whether it is spiritual or not. I had an example. There was a senior Vaishnava who was having prasadam. And in the prasadam, you know, we always have opulent prasadam, and there are a lot of sweets, a lot of, you know, dishes which are very tasty to eat. Now this Prabhuji, when was eating the prasadam, has got his full plate, and there was another devotee who was doing some seva, and when he completed his seva, he came to take the prasadam. As the tasty prasadam is there, sometimes, you know, there are certain things which are either not in adequate quantity, or people like or eat more. For some reason, this person who was doing the seva did not get the sweets. When he came and he took his plate and he was sitting with the other Prabhuji, who was already done with the prasadam, and the person who was serving he asked him, Prabhu, do you have some sweets? And he thought that this Prabhuji is already having, you know, prasadam full plate. He has taken sweets two or three times, and why he is asking for more? And I didn't even have the sweets. Anyway, that person said, no, Prabhu, there is no sweet. Let me check. And in the meantime, another person who was serving came, and Prabhuji asked that, you know, do you have some more sweets? So he asked a couple of times with the people that, you know, are there more sweets, are there more sweets? And they said no. And this person was who was doing the seva, thinking that, you know, this person has already taken the prasadam, and he's still into sense gratification. You know, he's asking for more sweets, although they have told a couple of times that there is no sweet. Then somebody brought a plate, and, you know, he said that, Prabhu, yes, I have, you know, two pieces of the sweet. Maybe you can take one. And when he offered the sweet to that Prabhuji, he folded the hand. He said that I had already eaten my prasadam. This person was doing the seva. He did not got the sweet I was asking for him. So the underlying conscience of the devotee who was sitting and asking for the sweet multiple times was not for his own sense gratification. That was for the service. He wanted to serve the person who was doing the seva and did not got the sweets, and that's why he was trying to find out from everyone that if there is a piece of sweet, somehow I can get it and get it to this devotee who was doing the seva. That is the devotee nature. But when we do not know the underlying intentions, we mistakenly take those activities as sense gratification. This happens with our gurus also. We see our gurus doing certain activities, and sometimes we are not able to understand. But then faith has to be there. If we have the faith in our spiritual master, and we know that our spiritual master is doing the right activities, then this question will not come whether this activity is on the platform of sense gratification or it's a platform of service. If we cannot understand, we can ask a submissive question to know that, you know, how this activity is this. You know, we can ask some senior devotee. The point I'm trying to make is that we should not judge the activities, we should judge the consciousness behind that. And the way the consciousness behind the activity can justify the activities of others, if we develop the same attitude of the consciousness, then the activities can be rendered in the service of Lord. So this is the underlying message which is been given here. Madhuri, I just want to check, do we still have the time? We are winding up at 8, I believe. Hare Krishna?
Yes, Prabhuji, we have some time.
So I will just conclude here one more time, stating that, you know, one should take the process of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and when we are involved in that process, gradually by that process we get out of the modes of the material nature, which are responsible for controlling our activities. So the senses control goes out of the mode of the material nature, and when we have the knowledge, comes under the control of the intelligence through the mind, and at that state, immediately a person is able to realize the supreme Brahman state. Brahman here is used for the supreme Brahman because, you know, the Brahman is the first realization of the supreme personality of Godhead, and when we understand that state, you know, in the form of the supreme Lord himself, then it is called as the supreme Brahman. So we should not get confused by the word Brahman here being a first realization of the Lord, and Paramatma being second, and, you know, the supreme personality being the topmost and the one. So supreme Brahman refers to the supreme personality of Godhead. So with that note, I'll just stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Please forgive me if I have misstated anything. Kindly correct me and let me know any improvements. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Anybody has? Hare Krishna, I'm still audible.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Namaste pranam. This is Mamta from Charlotte. Thank you so much for participating class. And the prasadam part that you explained was very nice, you know, something that I could easily understand. And even all other, you know, examples were very nice, you know. We can try to relate to all of them.
Thank you for the encouragement, so Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again.
Thank you, Mataji. So anybody else has any other comment or any question? Right, so I take it as no questions or comments. Thank you everybody for giving me this opportunity and patiently listening. And I offer my obeisances and pray for forgiveness for any offenses if I made. Please pardon me. Vancha kalpa trivishcha kripa sindhu bhai vacha patitanam bhavne bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah shri prabhupad ki jaya.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.